All right, hello and welcome into the Killer Frogs bullpen. This is our 18th episode. I'm joined as usual by Carson and Nate, and finally back on the podcast is Brett. Brett, it's been a while. We tried to have you on for 2 weeks now, but you're finally here. How you feeling, man?
Yeah, I'm great. A lot more excited coming off of a series weekend victory. Something that also has been a long time coming. So yeah, excited to sit down here and talk some TCU baseball with y'all.
Brett, was there any kind of split personality disorder going on between cheering before between the two teams, especially in that game three, ninth inning?
I live in a legal betting state, just putting this out there, but I placed wagers on Texas Tech in all three games that weekend. So, the good news is TCU wins. I'm excited for the team. I obviously sit here, cover the team. I'm wearing a TCU hat. Love the baseball team. But I do have a little bit of partial bias to Texas Tech. Unfortunately, they were my first college baseball kind of team that I followed and liked. You can see the, Mahomes jersey up here, but I'm just happy both teams had fun.
Yeah, it's all that matters. All right, let's talk a quick Abilene Christian recap for TCU. The game happened. That's what happened, that's for sure. It was one game that was played of all time. Carson, you had some thoughts you wanted to talk about during the game, or you were mentioning during the game. You want to go off on it a little bit?
First of all, I think it was Monday night that I said, I want to see Braden Sloan on the mound. I want to see him back, and I want to see what he can do from that starting role. So never listen to me again. That's one. Second of all, Sloan needs to take a back seat. Okay. And I hate to say that because I think he has really, really good stuff and stuff that we've seen before. I mean, the game against Arizona, like that's the Braden Sloan that I thought we were going to see more of this year. I'm not sure what to do with him right now because you can't throw him on the weekend.
Yeah, Nate, anything you felt that you've been internalizing that you want to share?
Braden Sloan is not a starter. Saw that last night. He is a weekday relief pitcher at most to me right now, until he can prove otherwise. And I don't know if we'll be able to give him that chance this year because we got a tough slate ahead of us. So right now, like Carson said, I don't know where he fits, but he's kind of in that backseat position right now.
Yeah, Brett, you're agreeing with their takes right now, or how are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, he had a really promising, very exciting first start of the year against Arizona, rung up what 13 batters or whatever it was. But yeah, I have to agree. You can't even start him on the weekday right now because your final two, what do we got? Two weekday games ahead of us are Dallas Baptist, top 25 Dallas Baptist, and in conference Baylor. So, you kind of have to take those a little bit more seriously. And Sloan does not have the hot hand right now, as we saw in a disastrous first inning against Abilene Christian. But how can I sit here and say otherwise?
Yeah, I think it's one of those where you're already feeling kind of some way about an offense. And when you give up 7 runs before recording an out, I put the game on as background noise after that because I kind of didn't have much hope. I believe it was Brett. It was either Brett or Jamie said that TCU hasn't scored more than 8 runs since it's the 13-0 run, which is
Wow.
wild to think about.
Okay. I didn't know it was that bad.
Yeah, no, it's that
Oh,
bad, Carson.
wow.
So going off of that, just after watching the Tuesday night performance against Abilene Christian, does that give you any worry going into the weekend and having to travel to Austin?
Yes, because I mean, Texas is an offensive geared team. And if they're swinging the bat like they have been, I don't know that TCU keeps up with them in any of these games. I mean, you can argue maybe with a good Peyton Tolley start where he gives up maybe 2 to 4 runs. You can argue that TCU has a shot, but I don't have a lot of confidence, not in this weekend.
Yeah, Nate, does it give you any worry?
I'm not too worried. Like you said, it's a similar team to Tech, and TCU seemed to do okay managing them, even though they had a lot of hits. But we minimized them going deep, which was huge. And I think that's our key this week. If Tolley can give us a good start on the Friday, I'll have even more hope. Because we did just fine without totally getting the win on Friday, so I'm not too worried about it. I think we'll get this series win.
Yeah, Brett, Texas coming off a slacking by UTRGV. I had to make sure I get that one right. Both teams, you drop a huge midweek, or not huge, but a midweek game where you're already kind of spiraling throughout the season. Is it cause for concern when you go into a weekend, or do you think it's just, hey, you know what, Big 12 conference time?
I don't know how much effects it has on the weekend, but I can't chalk anything up to just a midweek right now. You know, this isn't 11-5 Big 12 TCU. They're not set for the postseason. They're not even set up for success for the postseason. And, you know, once again, the bats don't show up. And, you know, take out all seven of those first inning runs. Just wipe them completely. They never happen. That half inning doesn't happen. A win is better than a loss. Hard stop. But how are you guys feeling with a 3-1 win over Abilene Christian, who's ranked 118th in D1 Sports' Diamond Sports rating? Or I don't know, man. I'm not feeling that great about a 3-1 win over ACU. That's a team that previously you put up 15 runs on. Come on. So I don't know that has much effect going into the weekend, but I'm certainly not feeling good about it. And I'm not just saying, it's a fluky midweek. TCU's not in a position to throw things away to fluky midweeks. They're not Arkansas. You can throw away a fluky midweek loss. Heck, you can even throw up the UTRGV loss for Texas as a fluky midweek. You can't do that when you're in the position that TCU's in.
I mean, it's kind of that same scenario with a team like Florida, where they've lost, I think, 4 out of their last 5 midweek games, but they take care of business on the weekend. And that's what D1 baseball and all of those other recruiting, or I'm sorry, not recruiting, those ranking, you know, those rankings, like, focus on.
Yeah, I mean, cause for concern, yeah, I think it is. But like Brett said, and that's what I was going to harp on, is you take away a bad start from Brandon Sloan, we haven't really seen pitch in a few weeks, like, competitively, at least. It's, you know, it's a win, and a win that TCU desperately needs. Let's go ahead and hop into the Texas preview. Texas is not the Texas that you're used to. And neither is TCU. So this is kind of a weird place for both teams to be. Texas is 22-16, 9-6 in the Big 12 right now. But the promise that they had going into the season, much like TCU, they kind of struggled, right? Like, they're not the same that they were. We did say they do draw a lot of similarities to Tech. And Brett, as our resident Tech expert, go ahead and tell us what you kind of see between the two teams and how TCU can attack them the same way that they attack Tech.
Yeah, I'm going to push back a little bit on that. Texas Tech offensively was this super juggernaut team, except for when they play Big 12 competition. I mean, their bats are atrocious in Big 12 competition. You saw that this weekend series. That is not the power hitting team that we expected to come in here. I think Texas is a lot better offensively, inconsistent, but still a lot better. Look, they're 0-2 against top 25 RPI competition. I think they dropped to like Vanderbilt and A&M, I think it was, or LSU maybe at the time earlier in the year. But they're 6-4 against those in 26-50, which is where TCU falls. And Texas surprised me. RPI doesn't like them this year. They're ranked 75th. DSR, though, which I like, it's the new RPI Plus came in. It ranks them 55th, so it's a little bit more bullish there. Texas Tech actually ranks 20 spots higher in both of those. I don't know if that's truly deserved or if it's just a product of beating up on the Texas Southerns of the world. TCU, for reference, is ranked 36 in RPI, 31st in DSR. Again, pretty bullish on the Frogs for where they're at, for at least where it sounds like where we're at with this team. Texas bats are really inconsistent. They did not crack 5 runs against BYU, but they hung 33 runs in 3 games against Kansas State. So it just kind of depends which team you're getting week to week. Like you said, JD, this is not the Texas of years past where they were hosting regionals and making runs to Omaha. I don't believe that is in the cards for them. But they do have really good power hitters. You're talking about Jalen Flores has 14 home runs. I believe that leads the Big 12. At least it did over the weekend. Max Ballew, who's 12 home runs. Jared Thomas, 11 home runs. But they don't really have that, like, Ivan Melendez star, right? They don't have the Jack Caglione in their lineup to where you're like, oh, don't put this thing in the strike zone because he'll send it 516 feet like Cags did last night. If you guys watched that highlight, at Jesus. Least. My goodness gracious. That's took the insane. Stitches out of the ball. But yeah, Texas, I do believe, is a lot more dangerous of an offensive team than Texas Tech is, because they're not scoring 28 runs against the 300th ranked team in the country and then 2 runs against TCU. They're a little bit more consistent in that department.
Yeah, we came into the season expecting Texas to be a lot better. Same with TCU. I'm going to keep saying that because it's true. But one player that Carson was very high on going into the season, had him as his Big 12 pitcher of the year, LeBaron Johnson Jr. And he is 1-3 on the season with a 5.57 ERA. But don't get me wrong. He's, which probably throw a perfect game against TCU right now. But I digress. Carson, their pitching staff, though, it's crumbled. You know, are you afraid that their pitching staff will perform well against TCU's offense? Or do you think that it's just, this is the chance to get the bats hot?
I think it's just a matter of which TCU team shows up. Are we going to get the TCU team that tries to hit a home run every at bat? Or are we going to get the TCU team that tries to suffocate you over 9 innings? I mean, if you get the latter, I think TCU has a good shot this weekend, but from what I saw last night from our hitters, I don't know. I could see a no-hitter getting thrown against us just because I know that while this Texas team doesn't have the same talent from the past few years, they still have the coaching to take a series purely based on coaching.
Yeah. Nate, historically, TCU's been pretty good playing in Austin against Texas, and since it is a Texas team that's, you know, reeling to start the season, what do you feel is more important for the team this season? Is to quiet the offensive bats like they did against Tech, or to actually produce some runs, at least 5 runs a game? Let me just see something.
I think getting our bats hot, if we want to make a push at this season, if we want to make any postseason play, I think getting our bats hot is more important. I think it starts here. If we can outscore Texas, that'd be a great start. And I think it all starts with being healthy. And I don't know if we're going to get that healthy Logan Maxwell, or he's going to not even play. You don't know. And so I think it all depends. But I would like our pitching to continue to wave people like they did last weekend. I think that was a really impressive outing for them all 3 days. And I think we need to continue. But I think our bats need to get hot first.
Yeah, there is a name I do want to bring up on Texas' lineup. Porter Brown, second year at Texas. Currently has 7 home runs on the season, which would lead TCU, by the way. I just want to – that was what I wanted to throw out there. Porter Brown would definitely be leading TCU in the home run category. Wouldn't be bottom of the pack in batting average, but he'd be close with the .220. But Porter Brown also – has a disdain for TCU, so I expect him to have a big weekend this weekend, and I really expect that. Anything you guys want to talk about individually with any of the Texas players before we go into some questions?
Yes. I feel like if there's any X factor in the lineup, it's Max Ballou, and that's cool to me because he graduated from Aledo 2 years behind me, and so I think it was, I want to say it was 2021, where I went up to the field just like in between college seasons, just to like throw a bullpen or something like that. And I saw him hitting. I saw him like roll over twice or something like that. I was like, okay, he's just, you know, he's kind of your average hitter. He gets a fastball inside. He takes it over the right field wall, probably by about 50 feet. And then I was like, okay, that's why he's committed to Texas Tech. That's why he was drafted. Yeah, you just kind of got to circle him on the lineup card this weekend, I think. I mean, he's batting .426 in conference. That is, I mean, that's insane.
Yeah. Brett, anything you want to add?
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about the pitching. Specifically, you brought up LeBaron Johnson Jr. And yeah, he's struggling with control right now. You know, yeah. He walked 4 guys, had 2 wild pitches in his last outing against
Houston. His stuff's still there.
Yeah, and that's the problem. Yeah. So I think that the issue with TCU's batting, and I don't know if this is a coaching thing or just a lineup-wide lack of confidence, they're watching too many good pitches go by. Like, swing the bat on the first pitch. I don't know if it is a game plan thing. When you're talking about Kansas, and they have very high-end starters, and then a lot of nothing behind that, sure, run up those pitches. You want to tire them out, take them off. Texas isn't like that. They have a good bullpen. You're talking about Gage Bain, Max Grubbs. Like, they have guys there that can come in and still give you quality innings behind that. So I think you have to come out and attack the stuff. And if you sit back, and, you know, LeBaron Johnson Jr. knows this. He's watched film on TCU. If you're going to sit back and let him throw strikes, dude's going to come out and throw strikes. He's going to deal because he still has it. The talent is still there. He's just, he's a little off with his with his stuff right now. He's just missing. This is a weekend that could get him back into gear. And I don't know, man. I think you have to come out and attack him first. And I know it's not what TCU's been doing this year, but I think you have to. And Bame is just he's shut down closer. When he comes in, game's pretty much over. You know, 34 strikeouts, 5 walks, and 29.2 this year. Yeah. Don't let him get out there. So Texas is shuffling around their lineup a little bit, their rotation a little bit, but they still have good quality arms. It goes beyond just LeBaron Johnson Jr. And the way that they're approaching the plate right now and the way that they're hitting, they're going to make this lineup look like an all-star lineup if you let it.
Yep. Johnson Jr. also, you got to kind of remember, this guy sits like 96 to 99 with his fastball.
TCU does not say, yeah.
TCU does not do well with velo. We just don't. Anything, me and JD have talked about this 20 times this season. Anything over 92 miles an hour, TCU can barely touch. And that, I don't think that's just a skill issue. I think that's a coaching and that's a mechanics thing. I firmly believe that.
Well, I think it's hesitancy. When you sit there and you let the first couple go by and you get a look at, holy smokes, that's what 96 looks like going by. You're going to catch up to it on the second one, especially if you're thinking pitch to pitch. And that's why, yeah, I agree with you. I do think it's a coaching thing because it's top to bottom in the lineup. It's not just three guys. It's everybody.
Yeah. I hate to pick on Anthony Silva again, but last year he was a guy that hunted first pitch so many times and he was so effective. This year, I think I've seen him take the first two strikes in a row probably 10 times that I can remember. And that's just the ones that I can remember from the past few weeks.
Yeah, Nate, do you think it's a coaching issue thing or a player thing? Because I do want to say, before you go, Nate, is Peyton Chatagnier, I can't tell you how many times he swung at a first pitch fastball and popped it up with bases loaded. So,
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. I can't say it's a full-on coaching thing because you saw the team that we had last year, and I think they're using the same mentality. Because Peyton Chatagnier has done this his whole career. He gets down in the count, and it's just something he does. And I think Anthony Silva's hitting that slump of his early career, and I think he's trying to be a hero instead of doing what he did last year. He's trying to be the Braden Taylor of last year, and that's just not working for him right now. So he needs to sit back and just do what he did last year. And I mean, I don't know if Sarlous is doing a good job. I don't know if TJ Bruce is doing a good job amping him up for that. But I can't say it's their fault when they produce great hitters in the past.
Is it fair to call it a slump if it's been last month and a half, 6 weeks? Slumps eventually end. So, I mean, it's a big weekend, man. All right, let's get into some questions. Brett, starting rotation for TCU this weekend. Do we see the same thing as last weekend? Do we maybe see something different on that Sunday start? Or, you know, what's going on in that brain of yours?
I don't see why you wouldn't throw out the same rotation that you have. I mean, you know what you have in Tolley. I know he has not been, you know, complete game 15 strikeout, shutout, Tolley.
He's human.
You know, right, exactly. Yeah, he's getting tired. He still leads the league in strikeouts with 85. So I think you're good there. You keep him there. You let, if he gives up a few, whatever. He gave up 7 earned runs in his last two outings combined, but he's still fanning a lot of guys. I think he had 11 strikeouts last time out. And I really like Mason Bixby in that Sunday starter spot. And look, if you're concerned with his innings, which in the MLB right now, there's a big concern around guys that are throwing heat and blowing their arms out. So I get why you would be. Then use him as an opener and bring in Ben Hampton or Cole Klecker or somebody in after two innings, right? Let Bixby come out, set the tone, throw his 100-mile-an-hour fastball right down the middle, fan a few guys, let them get in the rhythm, and then bring your struggling veterans that should be much better than they are, like Hampton and Klecker, bring them in afterwards once the rhythm and tone has been set. I'm good with that. A lot of teams utilize that opener role, especially here in college baseball. It's becoming more and more popular. You bring these, you know, heat throwers out for a couple of innings. I like the way it did that. Obviously, you're not going to take Luis Rodriguez out. I wouldn't take Peyton Tolley out. I would keep things just how they had last weekend, because right now, what was this? Their first series win outside of what, Houston?
Yeah.
Yes.
In the entire Big 12 slate.
Yes.
Run it back out there. What have you got to use?
Now, Brett, I do have a question about that, because you are talking about an opener bringing out another potential veteran. Does that change at all considering you do have a top 25 matchup with DBU on that following Tuesday?
No, win this series.
Okay. That's what I wanted to do. Nate, we can rotate rotation? Changing? Staying the same?
No, I'm staying the same. I think it worked really well. And I think Bigsby's bound to get a little bit tired as fast as he throws. And I really thought Ben Hampton did an excellent job. He changed up his pitching mentality. Instead of throwing fastballs early in the count, I'm going to kill you with my off speed. You can't. You're off on it after you saw Bigsby throwing. And we're just going to keep getting at you that way. And I think he could have gone longer. Ben Hampton could have gone longer if need be. But I think Zach Collier did an excellent job for those couple of innings. And if he can continue to do that, maybe we'll see him, those three pitchers on that, and then Clicker finish it out. And that's what I would like to see.
Carson, I think that was the closest we've gotten to an apology so far.
Nate, that was an amazing take. That was awesome. Good job.
I'm proud of you, man. Carson, same weekend rotation.
Yeah, you got to keep it the same. There's no reason to switch things up, especially coming off of, you know, beating a good hitting team with that rotation. I would love to see Bixby go like 3 to 4 innings. That'd be really fun.
Yeah, I mean, he went 3.1 last weekend. He walked two guys and got into a little bit of trouble and some counts deep that, you know, I think if he can avoid that this weekend against a Texas team that likes to swing the bat, then maybe, you know, you're looking at maybe a 5-inning start. I don't see anything more before you switch it up. You don't let him go a third time through the lineup, definitely. But I like to see Klecker come in. Let me see a multi-inning outing from him after the closing job.
Yeah.
I do want to see Klecker in, unless you save him for Tuesday, potentially. But, I mean, that's a – like Brett said, you got to win this weekend. All right. So the way I worded this question, the next question is – who needs this series win for a better outlook on the season, TCU or Texas? I forgot to put TCU or Texas fans, because Texas fans are not happy right now, as they never are. But who needs a series win more? Brett?
TCU. No doubt. In my mind, there's no shred of that Texas needs this more than TCU, because Texas is 2 games back of first place. Right, TCU is on the verge of not making the Big 12 championship at all. You may not make the field. So you have to win the series. You have to. If Texas gets swept and either West Virginia or Oklahoma or whoever sweeps their series this weekend, they're still only 5 back. They're still plenty within the pack here, you know, with some weird stuff that's going on in the Big 12. But at TCU, if you get swept, now you're 8.5 back, potentially. Right where you were. If you lose this series, you basically just undid what you did against Texas Tech. Throw that out. It doesn't even matter at this point. So to me, it's TCU. You know, at 22-13, are we probably sounding off the alarms a little bit more than the average 22-13 team would be doing? Yeah, of course. But I'm not looking at 22-13. I'm looking at 7-11. That's, to me, that's the record that matters. And boy, it would be embarrassing debut in the top 5 nationally and not make your conference tournament field.
Yeah, Brett, if TCU drops the series, what's your confidence percentage that TCU can end up making the field?
Well, still high, because you're dealing with Houston that can't win a game in the league. BYU's no good. I think there's a little bit of fraudulence a little bit to UCF, even though they climbed up in the top 25 recently. Baylor's sitting at 8-7. So like, there's teams that can fall off, and all these teams, you know, TCU plays some of these teams coming up, so they can gain that traction. So still very high. I don't think that they'll miss the tournament, but you know, I also didn't think that they get swept at Cincinnati. So
yeah. Carson, how big of a series is this? The biggest series of the season so far? We said that last week and we said it the week before. But is it just every week is the biggest series of the season?
I mean, yeah, you're pretty much playing for a playoff berth every series, it seems like, with the Big 12 tournament, obviously, just because I feel like TCU, with how they've played in that tournament, if you can get into the tournament, you give yourself a shot at least to contend for a decent seed in the round of 64. So, okay. a bigger weekend for TCU or Texas fans?
Yeah, because Texas fans are on full meltdown that they need to fire the entire coaching staff and every single person that it's involved.
I kind of want to choose Texas fans just from purely a comedic standpoint, just because I think they'll kill themselves if they don't.
Yeah,
they don't win against TCU on their way out of the Big 12.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was kind of the same way for Oklahoma when they came here, because it seems like just the two guys leaving the conference just want to beat up on everybody before they go.
Yeah, you're playing for scoreboard rights at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
So if TCU loses the series, my confidence actually goes down quite a bit, because I think you're running out of time to kind of get started, where it was at this point in the season last year that TCU kind of started to look like the team from the beginning of the season. So that gives me a little worry. There are vulnerable teams, and I hate to do that to UCF, but yeah, they've had a kind of a bad stretch. I was high on them when they were in the top 25. Kansas State is a weird team. They seem to just be complacent with getting one win a weekend, which I don't really know why. I think they have the talent to make a push for the Big 12 title.
Yeah. This one, the Big 12 is wide open. Nate, most important series, how you feeling?
I think it's definitely more the most important series for us yet. I said that last week, but I'm going to probably continue to say it until right. We get to a position where we're safe. And I think that's winning every single series from here on out. But I think it's more important for TCU fans. I think it's more important for this TCU roster. Right now they're in a position where they could be an embarrassment to themselves, being that high up in the national polls and then potentially missing the Big 12. They got to turn it around somewhere. So I think this is a bigger moment for TCU as a whole.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the, the TV rights to these games. The Sunday game is on Longhorn Network, and I'm hoping that's not exclusively.
If you have ESPN, you should be able to have access to watching it.
See, I've tried that before, but if it's on Longhorn Network, you can't get to it.
Ah,
so
mine is logged in through cable package. I think that's why I have access to it. That and my dad's a diehard Longhorn fan, unfortunately. All right, Brett, we alluded to it earlier. What is your confidence level on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest, that TCU wins this series?
Not high. Why would it be? A 3?
Yeah.
A 2? Like, I'm not sitting here saying TCU is going to lose, but like, what basis do I have to be confident that TCU does win this series? Texas Tech looked like a juggernaut offense, but they stink in league, as they proved again. I actually think they scored more runs against Arkansas in their midweeks than they did against TCU, outside of Friday's game. But, TCU won both games this week and scoring 4 runs. That's not enough. It's not enough consistently. I know Texas isn't consistent. They score 1 run, they score 11 runs. But I don't want to go into my game. I don't want to go into major league game saying I'm going to score 4 runs all the time and hope that my pitching staff keeps the other team to less than that, because that's just not suitable. Texas pitching staff has struggled lately. Like we talked about, LeBaron Johns Jr. doesn't have his best stuff right now, but top to bottom is still better than Texas Tech has to offer. So yeah, I have no reason to have confidence, and I need to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much nail on the head right there. Right.
Would you guys say that part of that lack of confidence comes from like not seeing the TCU offense put up, that crooked number of like 10 or 11 runs in a game in a while? Because like that's kind of where I'm at. I haven't seen it in so long, so I don't remember what it looks like.
I think the vote of confidence is more so because the team just doesn't look like they're in it, right? Like when you watch their facial reactions, their genuine reactions to everything happening, like it doesn't look like the TCU team you saw in the first 13 games at all. Brett, you unmuted. You were going to say something. Go for it.
No, it's all right. But we'll save it. We'll save it for a prediction. Yeah.
Nate, what's your confidence level? You're supposed to be our highest number because you are the most optimistic on this show.
I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Okay.
I'm in between giving it a 7, and here's why. I mean, I have confidence, but I feel like we're going to come off too confident after Tech. But if we don't, I feel like we're going to be in good shape because I don't think Texas pitching is going to be able to contain us enough, even though our hitting's not great. I think our pitching, if they do what they need to do, we'll be fine.
Yeah, he says contain us. I don't think anyone's scared of TCU's offense right now. Carson, give me your vote of confidence. What you got? Sway me that I should be confident that TCU is going to win this.
Oh, I'm supposed to.
Sorry, is that too tough of a task for you? Yeah.
No. I'll try. You know what? I'll try. So I'm going to give it a 6. Okay. And I'm going to say this goes to Sunday. TCU wins game one, Texas wins game two. I think Mason Bigsby, I think he throws 4 scoreless innings, and I think they win Sunday. Okay. I think that while Texas can handle the heat a little bit more of maybe Mason Bigsby, I think that, you know, like we've mentioned this podcast, the switch up looked really, really good against Texas Tech this past weekend. I think it does the same thing to Texas. I'm trying to kind of vocalize why I think we'll win now. I'll save it.
I need your in-depth knowledge. Yeah, I think my confidence level is at about a 4.5 right now. And it's only that high because it's in Austin. I think if you're playing at TCU, it probably drops by 1.5 to Brett's 3. But, you know, going to Austin, last time you're going to Austin, like there's something there.
Again, it would be different if, like, one of the midweek games in the past 2 weeks or one of the Big 12 games, TCU put up 12 runs. Like, whether win or lose, if their offense showed up for a game, I would be like, yeah, I'm an 8 or something. But I can't put it that high right now.
Yeah, no. All right, let's jump into predictions. Nate, let's let you go first this time. Give me your prediction for the weekend.
We're going to go 2-1. I feel like we're going to win Friday's game 7-4. We're going to drop Saturday's game, win Sunday. They're all going to be close matchups. And I think Sunday's going to be our closest one where we win 4-3.
I think the most outlandish part was you said TCU would score 7 runs Friday. Brett, your prediction on the weekend.
Yeah, I think Texas takes 2 of the 3 games at least. This is what I was going to say in the last thing, but in the collegiate baseball game, I'd always rather have offense and inconsistent or bad pitching because it always gives you a chance to win. In my opinion, the college baseball game is about outscoring your opponent. I know it sounds ridiculous. Every game is about outscoring your opponent, but in the majors, it's more about mitigating good hitters and winning low scoring games. In college, you have to have an offense. And when you don't, you're out, man. You're out. The pitching only really triumphs everything when you get to the late rounds of the College World Series, which TCU won't sniff this year. So I always rather see that offense come through. But I do think Texas takes a majority of these games, if not all 3. If TCU is going to win, Nate, I actually like the number you put out there. I think 7 runs is what TCU will score if they're going to win a game here. I will stand by and say they will win a game. They'll score 7 in a game, maybe take advantage of Saturday's pitching or something and get one on the board here. But I can't in good faith say that TCU wins this series.
Yeah. Carson, your prediction? You also look like Brett blew your mind when you said you want to outscore your opponent. So I just want to make sure you knew that part beforehand.
Right. Yeah. No, that's news to me. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
I'll stay on the optimism train. I think TCU takes 2. I think it's an ugly 2. Like, I don't think either team plays this series well. I think if TCU wins 2, I think they're both tight. The one that Texas wins, I think it's like 11-1. I think we get blown out of the water at least one game just because you know, different from the TCU offense, you can't contain the Texas offense for three straight games. You can do that with TCU.
Yeah.
As we've seen, as we've seen.
Yeah. I have been comically wrong about everything. So I'm going with the Texas sweep. And I'm 50-50 on it actually happening and 50-50 on hoping that I reverse jinx it. But I think a lot of it is just don't have confidence in the offense right now to be able to outscore Texas. I said the same thing about Tech, and then, but like Brett said, Tech can hit against conference. Texas can hit against everyone. But Texas put up, I believe it was 8 runs on Sunday against Houston to cut in the 9th inning to be able to come back and win that game. 8 runs. They were down by 7 runs and they put up 8 in the 9th inning. That's a, I mean, that can happen at any point. They put up 13 runs on Saturday to beat Houston. They can put up all the runs, and it doesn't matter how good your pitching staff is or who you are.
Not just it, 8 runs in the 9th, but 11 runs in the final 3 frames.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the pitching staff needs to be immaculate. But like Kirk said after the Friday night game against Tech, your pitching can be as good as you want, but if your offense doesn't show up, who cares about the pitching? You're not going to win 1-0 all 3 games. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to hold this Texas offense scoreless. And I don't have confidence the offense will even score over 4 runs right now. Now, I hope by all things they prove me wrong this weekend, right? Because I don't want that. But, like, I don't believe it's going to happen. Yeah, I'm so negative this episode, but I have to be. Like, someone's got to say the hard things that no one wants to hear aloud. It's a crumbling program right now. That's a little too far. But, all right, Big 12 Recon Preview. We have some very good series this weekend around the Big 12 that play some pretty major implications for the rest of the season. You got the Basement Dwellers, Houston and Cincinnati. They're taking each other on. Central Michigan at UCF, since Iowa State refuses to have a baseball program. Central Michigan at UCF. Oklahoma State at Kansas State, which, I mean, that could be a very big conference-defining weekend. Kansas at Baylor. West Virginia at Texas Tech. I can't wait to watch that one. TCU at Texas, of course. And Oklahoma at BYU. Carson, I'll kick it to you. Which one of those series excites you or are you looking forward to the most?
Come back to me. Hang on. Come back to me.
Okay, Nate.
Let me look at these.
I'm going to go with Texas Tech. That's going to be a interesting matchup. It's going to be basically which offense shows up and it, who can pitch better. And I'm going to go with West Virginia getting that series win this weekend.
Yeah, Texas Tech with those West Texas wins are a little bit different, right? Brett, yep. Any one of those?
Yeah, this one's tough. Obviously, you want all the teams ahead of TCU to beat each other up. I think when it comes down to the most number of wins, I think I'm going to go Oklahoma State, Kansas State.
Yeah.
Just because Oklahoma State is making a big run right now, would like to see them knocked down. I was also kind of looking for a series between two teams that TCU has already played or will not play so that they can beat each other up and then TCU doesn't have to worry about beating them later on. Yeah. Unfortunately, we do not have one of those series on the slate, so I will stick with the Pokes and the Wildcats. A winner? Kansas State, like you said, is content to win a one-game weekend, and Oklahoma State's on a roll right now, so I'll take the Pokes there.
Yeah, Carson, you made up your mind yet?
Yeah. For me, it's probably West Virginia and Texas Tech, purely just because West Virginia is kind of an interesting team right now. They're still trying to, like some of the teams in the Big 12, figure out if they're good or not. With J.J. Weatherholt back, you can't really count them out of anything. But in West Virginia versus Tech, I'm taking Tech because Tech, I think, hits the ball a lot better at home. And so I've got them winning the series 2-1.
Yeah. I am going with the Kansas and Baylor series just because Baylor hasn't played anyone. And I'd like to see what they do against a Kansas team that did very well against TCU. Baylor's also at 8-7 in the conference, right? And you still got 4 games left against them. Weekend series in a midweek. And then Kansas at 7-8. 7-8. So I think it's just a big series overall for what potentially could unravel with the future standings. At this point, you just want to get in and pray that you stay in. Cincinnati currently is probably going to be in that bottom with TCU, but has the massive tiebreaker over them with the series sweep that could play major implications later on in the season. All right. I think that'll do it. Anything else anyone want to share before we close this thing out? No? No? Okay. Brett, it's a pleasure to finally have you on with us, man. It took 2 weeks, but you're finally here. We appreciate you coming on.
Yes, thanks for having me, guys. Always fun to sit here and chat with you guys through baseball season, air some dirty laundry, I suppose, between me and JD here. I really would like to see TCU turn around. Just getting the tournament, get hot. We saw it last year. So, here's for hoping to that.
For all your in-depth baseball talk, though, this man is big on stats, everything. Where can they find you on social media?
Yes, of course. You can follow me on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days, at Road to CFB. That's where I'm putting most of my stuff there. And of course, the Killer Frogs, I'm doing Big 12 Roundup series previews. And I know this isn't a football podcast, but guys, football season is a little bit around the corner. That's where I really kick things into gear. So follow me there. Thanks for having me, of course.
Yeah. Carson, Nate, we will be back Monday night to break down whatever happens over this fantastic weekend of 420. Hopefully it means Austin's too high and they can't play well. That's all I'm going for, all right?
It's going to happen.
Yeah, all right. Appreciate you guys for listening, and we will see you guys Monday.